It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. District football action across the state of Missouri started last night over at the Falcon Athletic Complex in a game broadcast right here on KWOS. It was the Blair Oak Falcons over School of the Osage by a score of 53-0. And joining us is Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. We're going to talk about your offense, but your defense was outstanding last night.
Boy, that was fun. That was a lot of fun to watch. We talked to our players about who was going to improve the most this week, them or us. We really had a good feel of what we were going to see, but our players just rose up. And I watched film this morning. I told our coaches already this morning that it wasn't anything magical. It was they went to their spots, they trusted the player next to them, and they made good, sure tackles and played their technique. And it was a textbook defensive night. Hopefully we can continue to grow from it. But, man, really got to be excited about the way they came out, read their keys, played their positions, and attacked. And at halftime, I told them it's contagious. Now it's contagious. Defense is one part of football that can really become contagious. And everybody wanted a piece last night, so really excited about Kevin.
Yeah, it was a situation where last Friday night you played School of the Osage. They scored 43 points, and last night your defense held them to less than 100 yards of total offense in the ballgame. Did you tweak anything during the week?
Not much, really. Honestly, we added a couple things where we put some guys at a point of attack where we thought it would help us, but it wasn't anything more than telling our players and then letting them see themselves. With having a young team, one thing that a lot of times comes into play is indecision. And so when they got to see themselves the week before, and they would get disappointed. Well, this was an opportunity now. All right, take what you saw and improve it on the practice field. We did. I thought we had a tremendous week of practice, and I felt really good going to last night. But last night, we just really played our techniques better. We got a little bit more aggressive than what we've been in the past. I think our indecision went out. It was more decision. Here we come. We're going to take you, and we're going to come after you. And that's one thing we tried to illustrate last week in practice also was don't be scared. I think, at times our youth, we get scared too much. It's like, we got number one on our side. He can run now. 17 can run, but let's go get him. And that's what we did last night and really attacked their quarterback. And he was really, really indecisive. We made him indecisive. So that was really helped us out.
Yeah, put a lot of pressure on the quarterback last night. I think you mentioned it just a moment ago. It seemed like your defense, they fed off of one another throughout the ball game last night.
They really did. I look back to we've made some changes as far as personnel when we're playing, and moving Holden Brand and Will Libert into the inside linebackers has really shored up our inside. And last night I thought Brady Kirprin and also Doug Blaha moved to outside linebackers earlier this year. Probably had their best performance last night. Really set the edge. Played with an edge. And what I mean by that is they played a little bit nasty, which is okay on the football field. We don't want to be that way off the football field, but on the football field we do. And then I really, really felt like our interior three really played a very, very good game. But Bryson Varner, and then Cole Peters, mm-hmm. and also we had Parker Bennett on the inside. I think they all played their best last night. So when you start playing your best and there's three sophomores on the D-line, or two sophomores and a freshman on the D-line, you start playing your best this time of year, you feel pretty doggone good that you're in a good position.
I don't know how many times on the Coaches Show we've talked about the fact that you started quick in a ball game. You did it again last night. Opening drive, you go 51 yards in 10 plays and get on the board with about 8.5 minutes left to go in the opening quarter and lead by a score of 8-0. But you drive. That was your longest drive, I think, of the night in terms of plays, and you never gave up the lead.
We want to do that. Again, we're an offensive-minded team. With what we started the year with last night, I might change it. We might change it and say, hey, we're going to play defense. But Dylan goes out, and he's our spokesman on the field. And he always, if we win the toss, we're going to take it. He wants the ball in his hands. He wants the ball in the offense's hands. I think one of our keys last night, though, was Caden Garber. He kind of goes under the radar because Dylan does so much for us and is so so dynamic, and our receivers are so good. But we had a 4th-and-1, and he was met at the line of scrimmage, ran through it, got about a 4 or 5 yard gain out of it, and it just kind of changed the complexion of offense. It's almost like, all right, our running back came down and knocked. So I think our offensive linemen are like, wow, we're going to start going harder. And I think that really ignited our offense when Caden broke that fourth and one for about a 4-yard gain.
One of the things I wanted to talk to you about that I saw quite a bit last night, and I think I've seen it pretty much throughout the season with regards to your football team, is the blocking that you get at the edge from your wide receivers.
It's something that Coach Briggs, Coach Lennon-Brink, really stressed from day one. If you're gonna catch the ball on offense, you've got to be able to block an offense. And I really think that is something that we have improved on throughout the year. Again, our outside, our skill positions. Zach Harrigan's our only senior, so again, a lot of underclassmen playing out there. And as it's worked on during the season, they get thrills of watching themselves and their teammates block when going to film. They like watching that exterior blocking that really sets the edge, like you said, and we're able to hit some things. And Dylan, if he gets behind there and he's one-on-one with somebody else, that's usually a win for us.
You know, defensively, I'm spying the quarterback. Last night, Dylan Hare out of the shotgun gives you that shoulder fake, and you don't know where he's going with the football. Sometimes he'll go up the middle. Sometimes he'll slide out to the left side or the right side. Sometimes he'll throw that short pass, and then a couple of times with the longer passes. But that hesitation and then that movement really makes it difficult on the defense.
And really, that's by design. Now, his God-given talent, we have nothing to do with, but we do have some plays where we want him to appear. It's almost like a quarterback draw type of action. And there's times where he just raises up and throws the ball, and it all looks the same. The one thing with Dylan, he can make everything look the same as an appearance. So when you're trying to scout us, you've got to really be careful, because what he looks at with his eyes may look exactly like something else, and it's not. So I think his deception is extremely important to us. Now, once he gets where he's running the football, there's nothing being said to that young man. That's just pure instinctual of being able to see things. I've had a couple that I've been able to coach. He's probably right up there of being able to see peripheral better than any person on the field. He can see things coming at him from the sides and make moves that normal people just can't, and that's okay. But he has that distinct ability, and we don't coach him. Once he starts running this, I always tell the coaches, he's got something. You just let him go. He may say no, 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 but it may end up yes, yes, yes. So just let him play.
You know, last night he had 3 rushing touchdowns, now 32 on the season. He set the school career rushing record last night. And of course, he's only a junior. He'll be back next year. He had his 100th career touchdown pass last night. You know, we talked about this on the air, that records, you always hear the saying, records are made to be broken. There are a couple of records he's got now. If they get broken, it's going to be a long time before that happens.
Well, and the neat thing about this game advances and this game moves on. But what doesn't is good people. And that's one thing with Dylan. Last night, Greg Jackson said he broke Matt Versloyce's career rushing record. And he said, you got to coach Matt Versloyce, talk a little bit about it. And I just told him, great players. Both of them are extremely talented players, but both great people, hardest working guy on your team, the best talent you have on your team, and probably the best leader on your team. There's not much coaching goes into that. When you can have great people like those two young men, good things are going to happen, and that's fun to be able to talk about Matt Versloyce in the same tone you talk about Dylan Hare, and you know, be able to have that recollection that those are just great people to be around.
How about Zach Harrigan last night? I think he had 8 catches. We had him for 141 yards in the ball game, and a couple of touchdown passes he caught. Also caught a 2-point conversion.
Zach is really one of those young men that the off season helped him so much. Last year, this week, week 10, was the first game he had ever started for us. And he played throughout the playoffs, and he was always just the little brother to the seniors of last year. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but he was just kind of the guy that fit in with them. This past offseason, I really challenged him in the weight room, and he, for the first time, came in and really attacked the weight room. And you can see it's paying off on it for him so well, because he hasn't slowed down. His season has continued to accelerate. He's playing on special teams for us. He's playing on defense. He's turned around. He's just making everything happen. But, boy, he is so fast, and he doesn't look like it. Coach Briggs, I think, gave him the best compliment. He said, it doesn't look like you're running. And what that means is it's so smooth and so fluid, it looks like he's doing it effortlessly, but he's just flying by people. And people really underestimate how fast Zach Kerrigan is, but his speed is right up there with anybody in our conference.
Last night in districts, Eldon beat Southern Boone 36-13 to advance to the district semifinals. Booneville 20 better than Fulton, 40-20 the final score. It sets up these semifinal games on Friday night. Mexico, the top seed in the district, will host the Eldon Mustangs. You will go to Booneville to take on the Pirates. Pirates win by 6 in week 4, 41-35 over the Blair Oaks Falcons. These two teams, though, are different than they were in week 4, aren't they?
Well, sure we are. You know, that's the one thing that we really are going to push for our players this week. Who's going to improve the most? And that's what we did this past week. And we're going to go back, watch the film, and review what we did wrong in the first game, look where we're at, look where we can go, look what we can try to attack. But they're going to do the same thing. You know, this is a unique opportunity for us to go up to a really, really hostile environment. We've been in a bunch already this year. Everybody's played their biggest game against us. Now it's going to be fun to go back up and say, hey, we've been here. We've been in this situation. How are we going to grow from it? And what can we do better to try to make the outcome a little different this time? We're going to have to play our best game. We're going to have to play with an extreme amount of energy. But we're also going to have to just play good, smart, fundamental football. That, when it boils down to it, tackle the ball, run the ball, secure the ball, put the ball in the end zone. It's a simple game.
What's the number one key for you in that ball game?
I think this week, the whole week of just improving, to be honest. It's going to be a week-long process of improving. Don't worry about what happened before. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Worry about what we control right now, and that's our getting better on the practice field.
Coach, congratulations on the win last night. Good luck on Friday night up in Booneville against the Pirates in the district semifinals.
Thank you, Kevin.
Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage once again last night at the Falcon Athletic Complex. It was Blair Oaks over School the Osage by a score of 53-0. It was a bye last night for the Jefferson City Jays as well as the Hannibal Pirates in their district in the first round last night. Winners were Warrenton and Kirksville. Warrenton beat Moberly 44-33. Kirksville beat Marshall 35-12. It sets up these district semifinal matchups on Friday night. Warrenton will be at Hannibal to take on the undefeated Pirates. Kirksville comes to Jefferson City. We'll take on the Jays at Atkins Stadium. Quick look at that game. These two teams will be playing for the seventh time all time as far as these two teams are concerned on the football field. The first time they played, 1937. The last time they played, 1946. First time in 75 years, these two teams will meet on the football field next Friday night. We'll have the broadcast right here on KWOS. It starts at 6:30. Back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
Of choice is Eli.
Incomplete! Start drinking it, folks!
Join head coach Eli Drinkwitz and the Mizzou Tigers right here all season long.
Touchdown, Missouri!
Join us Saturday as the Tigers head to Music City, USA to take on Vanderbilt. Our coverage begins at noon on your home for Mizzou football.
104.5 News Radio 950 KWOS.
In Class 5 District 4 football action last night in Washington, it was the Washington Blue Jays over the Capital City Cavaliers by a score of 35-8. In battle, out of Columbia beat Liberty Wentzville 48-13. Top two seeds in the district drawing byes last night. They are Holt undefeated at 9-0 and the 8-1 Helias Crusaders. So that sets up these district semifinal games on Friday night. Battle will be on the road at Holt. And it will be Washington here in Jefferson City to take on the Helias Crusaders at Ray Hinchcliffe Stadium. Again, last night, Washington over Capital City by a score of 35-8. And joining us is Capital City Cavaliers head football coach Joe Collier. First of all, Coach, your take of the ball game last night.
We played a very physical team. They really got after it. We played hard. We played through. And I'm proud of my guys for, sticking, having to stick with it in this to continue the game and keep fighting through and keep trying to find a way to win, even, you know, when the clock strikes zero. So,
you know, I took a look at some tape from the Washington Blue Jays earlier in the week. This is a football team that likes to run the football. They have tight ends in tight on each side of the offensive line, so they basically give you a seven-man offensive line front. Two running backs behind the quarterback, just one wide receiver. They want to run the football, and they did that last night, didn't they?
Yes. They did it. I thought, you know, there was a stance there that our defense showed up, and, you know, and then it was a couple breakdowns. But, you know, those guys was on the field. We kept defense out on the field forever. So, you know, as always, we stood up on D, and then we need to continue to find ways to generate some offense for us.
You know, it was a combination that Washington wanted last night, and that was to keep the football, run the football, and to stop you offensively, and they were able to do both things in that ball game, weren't they?
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They, you know, that D-line is something else, and then, you know, that front, I got to speak to both sides. If we're going to talk about the trenches, was one. They won the battle in the trenches, for sure.
You know, it was a situation, too, you weren't able to get any momentum going in the football game either, were you?
Not at all. They kept us off balance on both sides of the ball. You know, every time we thought we had a beat on them on defense, they'll run something that, you know, a QB keep or something like that, you know, or, you know, that kind of broke things open. We got a PI when they did pass the ball. We got, you know, we end up getting a pass interference on that. And then offensively, they just, and you know, they were always around the ball. You know, it seems like when the running back was getting it. So they were in the back. They were in our backfield a lot.
Washington led 21-0 at the half, but you're still in the ball game at halftime, aren't you?
Yeah, I felt like we can, you know, we get some things out on the perimeter to our guys. Even though it was raining, we thought we could still get that to happening. But they rallied to the ball. And, you know, I think we stopped them coming out of the halftime. So it felt pretty promising. But, again, you know, like I said, we couldn't really get anything going on offense. So it kind of staggered things.
You get a 13-yard touchdown run in the ball game from Andrew Beanland.
Yeah, he finished that run strong. You know, they transitioned some guys out. It wasn't I would like to think that, you know, in the second half we got that you know, during the course of the game while everything was, you know, still hot and heavy, but they transitioned some guys out and we were able to keep working and get a score there at the end.
Season ends with the loss last night in district play against Washington. This is your first year as head football coach for the Capital City Cavaliers. What are you gonna take away from the season?
That, you know, this is nothing to be satisfied with, or, you know, we only need to build off and remember what can happen if we don't work hard enough in the off season. And, you know, we need to keep this bad taste in our mouth and really focus on getting better on both sides of the ball. But offensively, we need to, you know, we need to figure out some ways to generate some points and give us a chance to win.
Couple things I want to talk about with regards to the season. First of all, this year was the first year that you pick up a win in the Central Missouri Activities Conference, a 40-point victory over Sedalia Smith Cotton.
Right, and you know, we're happy for that. That was a win that, you know, that was on both senior night and homecoming. So, you know, it was those little things that you can remember about a season and, you know, feel good about. But you have to remember the fact that we only won one game, and, you know, and we need to really build on that. We really need to focus on how can we generate more points, how can we, you know, be more competitive in football games, and how can we get alignment, assignment, technique football going.
One number I ran this morning before I came into the show, and I wanted to share with you and get your thoughts on it. Last year, the Capital City Cavalier defense gave up 44.6 points per ball game. This year, you cut that by 10 points. You've given up 34 points a ball game. So there is a positive there as far as your defense is concerned, as you cut that down by 10 points a ball game.
Right, and those are the little victories. We felt that, you know, as the season was going on, we felt like we were a little bit more competitive. But, you know, that's our goal, is to, you know, win games. And, you know, we need to make corrections. It's during, you know, after a win, it feels a little better. you know, that's a good moment that, you know, that we can, you know, hang our hat on. But we definitely, I know on the defensive side of the ball, you know, Coach Magnum, they want to get better. And Coach Neville, those guys want to get better on offense. So, you know, as a team, we're in myself, you know, on both sides of the ball, you know, just managing the game, making sure that we're putting ourselves in places that, you know, can, you know, you'd be successful and win games.
You saw this team grow throughout the season, though, didn't you?
We did. We did grow. You know, like I said, I was happy for the fact that, you know, we fought every game. I was telling my seniors, the guys that are there and stuck around, you did build a solid foundation for us to build on. And so I was happy for each and every one of those guys with their, you know, with their grinding and their efforts to keep trying to get better each week and keep the, you know, the younger guys enthused about playing football each week. And we actually had a good week of practice. We had a fun, good week of practice. Those guys worked hard. So, you know, we did end on a good mode. We didn't get the win, but I thought we kept, you know, the fight alive through the end.
Coach, appreciate your time this morning, and thank you for being on the show with us each Saturday throughout the football season.
That was a pleasure. I appreciate you guys. Y'all have a fun, safe weekend.
Thank you very much, Coach. Capital City Cavaliers head football coach Joe Collier. Again, last night in Washington, it was the Washington Blue Jays over the Capital City Cavaliers by a score of 35-8. A lot going on around the state as far as the fall sports are concerned. Heading into the break, let's take a look at volleyball. Class 4 quarterfinals today. Jefferson City will host at 1 p.m. as they will meet Logan Rogersville. And over at the Falcon Athletic Complex, Class 3 quarterfinals as Blair Oaks will meet John Burroughs, also scheduled to start at 1 o'clock. Back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS. Welcome back to the Coach's Show. District soccer will be a busy place at the 179 Soccer Park today in Jefferson City. Capital City Cavaliers will be involved in first-round district action today. And joining us is Cavaliers head soccer coach Travis Carrier. First of all, Coach, it's been a great year for your team, hasn't it?
Yeah, it hadn't been too bad. We've been pretty happy with what we've got accomplished so far.
All right, you're coming off a win Thursday. You beat Waynesville by a score of 4-2, led 2-0 at the half. They got two goals to tie it, and then you finished the job.
Yeah, we had we were getting some guys some time that really deserved it, and they snuck a couple in on us, and we threw a couple key guys back in and put a couple more in. So it worked out pretty good.
Yeah, we talked about it from the standpoint of having a great season. Now let's take a look at it from the standpoint of the last couple of years. As far as win totals are concerned, in 2019, 6 wins. Last year, 8 wins. Already 13 this year.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a big difference. I mean, we're trying to get some better teams on our schedule. So, you know, I mean, I feel like we maybe are a little better than our schedule, or maybe right around that. But, you know, from our very first year, we've picked up a lot of quality opponents. You know, I mean, 4 of our 6 losses are to Springfield schools that we went down and played down there that we didn't see those kind of matchups in the first season. We were just kind of taking what we could get when they put our schedule together. And so we kind of added some bigger teams, a little more quality. And so we definitely saw it when we went down to Springfield. So, I mean, that's what you got to do in order to be successful, but pretty happy with the fact that, you know, we're not losing to those same teams. We're almost losing to bigger and better teams, which I don't know that that's a great thing, but you know, I mean, we're playing that quality now, and so hopefully makes us a little more successful.
You know, you won, I believe, 10 of your first 11 games this year, and you have 6 shutouts on the season, don't you?
Yeah. We've done a pretty good job, or a better job defensively than we've done in the past. We were having some struggles with giving up goals in droves, kind of. You know, I mean, we were playing fairly well against opponents, but then we just couldn't find a way to keep the ball out of our net. And we've had that struggle just a little bit this year, but not near as often. But then it also helps when we've got Quow in the net. He's had some really big games this year. He never has really a bad game, but man, he's really come come to our rescue a few times this year in numerous games and been real big for us. And so it's great to know that he's a junior and coming back and hopefully going to save us a little bit next year too.
Well, you take a look at your record again, 13-6, and in all six of those losses, you didn't score in the game. So you take a look at the numbers. I know it's not this simple, but it looks like you score, you win.
Well, it kind of is. It kind of is. We've talked about that numerous times about the fact that, you know, in our games that we're losing, we're not scoring goals. And so, you know, even if we're losing 2-1 or 3-1 or 3-2 or something like that and scoring goals, you've got to be able to play those really good teams, but you've got to be able to find a way to score. Even if you're not going to win, you've still got to find a way to score goals against quality opponents because, I mean, that's what it's going to take to beat the quality opponent when it's down to the wire, when you're talking about districts and postseason play. You know, anybody you're going to see is going to be quality, and so you've got to find a way to score against them and put yourself in a situation to win the game.
First round of districts today in Class 3 is at the 179 Soccer Park here in Jefferson City. A total of four games. Jefferson City will get underway at 10 o'clock. They are the number 3 seed. They'll meet Washington at noon. You will take on Pacific. You are the number 2 seed in the district. Number 1 seed Rockwood Summit will meet Camdenton at 2 p.m. Rolla, the number 4 seed, takes on Union at 4. District semifinals are Monday at 5 and 7 p.m. with the district title game Wednesday at 6.
Well, I will tell you, they made a decision yesterday to move today's games to Capital City High School because of the rain.
Go to turf, right?
At Jeff City. Yeah, so we'll be over on the turf at Capital City for all four games today. The plan right now is to still have the semis and the semis and the final over at 179 still, but today we'll be at Capital City.
Well, that's good to know, and thank you for that update. Again, 179 Soccer Park is a natural grass field, and you're going to go to turf because of the rain.
Yeah, beautiful field over there at 179.
All right, what about this team you'll play today?
I think we've had very few common opponents, done well or slightly better against them. They're a decent team. They're in an area, you know, around St. Louis that always has quality soccer. And, you know, I mean, that's what we've talked extensively about our team in any team meetings or anything we've had, is that it's the time of year where anybody can kind of jump up and bite you. And so they've got the potential to do it. And so we've just got to come out and play our game. You know, we've talked a lot about that. There are several of our losses we just haven't really kind of rose to the occasion. And you know, this team might not statistically or on paper be as good as some of the teams that we've lost to, but they're definitely capable of winning games. And so they've got a decent amount of seniors, and they've got, if I'm not mistaken, talking during seed meetings and stuff, they've got some guys that are back that haven't been with them most or some of the season. And so definitely a situation where we've just got to come out and play our game and do our thing, I guess.
Coach, appreciate your time this morning. Good luck today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Capital City Cavaliers head soccer coach Travis Carrier. Again, they will take on Pacific, scheduled at noon. As Coach mentioned, they've been moved as far as first round district games is concerned from the 179 Soccer Park over to Capital City. They are scheduled again to meet Pacific. Coming into that game, Cavaliers averaging 2.7 goals a game, giving up 1.6 goals per game. Pacific, with a mark of 11-14, scoring 1.7 goals per game, giving up 2.3 goals per game. Back with more after the break. District soccer action as well today for the Hawaii Crusaders. They are scheduled to go to Columbia at Columbia Rockbridge. Joining us is Crusaders head soccer coach Jay Hebenheimer. They made a change as far as Capital City and Jefferson City is concerned as far as the location. Still headed to Columbia Rockbridge today, Coach?
We are. We're headed up there. We're going to leave our complex. We're going to meet with the boys this morning and have a meeting, and then we're going to take off about 11 o'clock, get up there, and hope our game playing strong.
Came up with a big win against Mexico on Thursday, 7-3 over the Bulldogs, in a big second half for you.
It was a slow start. I think we came out a little sleepy. It was rainy. Didn't get a great warm-up, and got a quick one, and then they got three on us. So it was a crazy first half, but the boys responded well. Talked to them about what our plan was going forward with the last game. We were using that as a warm up for what we were going to do against Hickman today. And then they went out in that second half and just performed at the highest level.
Give me a quick capsule of the season for the Crusaders.
it's been a roller coaster ride. We play a very tough schedule, so you know when we get to those big schools, we don't expect to go in and necessarily win, but we expect to go in and compete. And this year we haven't competed as well as we wanted to, and we've lost a lot of 1-0, 2-0 games. And ultimately, to the boys' credit, they've responded well, kept their heads high, and ultimately we got a great outlook on the weekend and you know, being our district's crazy and wide and it's spread all over the state, so you know, I think we'd have been much more happy if a couple of local schools would have stayed in our district and not been dropped classes, but you know, it is what it is, and that's just the nature of the beast.
You were getting some wins at the end of the season, weren't you?
Oh yeah, I think the boys are starting to find their form. We've been playing a lot more defensively, and off of that, we've gotten a lot more goals. Early in the season, it was a struggle for us to find the back of the net. Not that we didn't have many opportunities, we just couldn't get the ball in there for whatever reason, and that's going to cost you in the game of soccer.
You talked about it just a moment ago, but you do have schools from all over the state in this district. You have Columbia Rockbridge, Troy Buchanan, Columbia Hickman, Blue Springs, Blue Springs South, Battle, Osage, and yourselves.
Yeah, and that's just what I was getting at. You know, it's just luckily Rockbridge got to host and we're staying central. Otherwise, you know, Blue Springs could travel to Troy three times, say Troy was hosting it or Troy was traveling back to Blue Springs when, you know, we got schools closer that would make more sense, and it is what it is. But I don't know much about those schools because they're so far away. They're not schools that we keep on our schedule. Fort Osage, Troy Buchanan, Blue Springs are not schools that we typically see. So this new shift in format and districts, I'm not against. But I think Misha needs to look at it again and put classes back the way they should be.
You have Columbia Hickman today scheduled to start at 1:00. They are the number one seed in the district, and they're having a great year at 18-3, aren't they?
Oh boy, me and Will are fairly close, and yeah, he's got a great group right now. It rival any group I've seen this year or any group I saw last year. They 12 seniors, I think, very strong, very technical, quick to the ball. Very dangerous over the top. They play very direct. And yeah, he's got a well-oiled machine running very well right now himself. They've run into a couple of losses here recently, but they're two top level opponents.
You played them 10 days ago, I believe. They won the game 6-0. What'd you take away from that game?
Well, we went at it. We showed them something that we just played with them. We knew on paper Hickman was a stronger, faster, better team. So we just decided to go out and go right at them head to head with them, and they spread us out and ultimately were able to get balls through and put six on us. So it is what we showed them is not what we will do today, and hopefully we can come out and shock and all and do something that's not necessarily expected when you play an 8 seed against a 1 seed.
Yeah, we don't want to give them a scouting report on the radio, do we?
No. No, but ultimately my boys are, like I said, we talked about it over the course of the last week. We've used several of our games to, even the Vianney game last week, the first half was geared towards what we were going to do this weekend, and the first half was very successful, and we'll see what we can do.
What do you like most about your team right now?
Their mentality. They're just a well-connected group that understands this hasn't been the best season for Helias, but in the grand scheme of things, these games don't necessarily matter now. Everything that we've done this season is behind us, and what I tried to tell the boys last night is I believe in the theory of competition, not the theory of evolution. It's not the strongest don't always win. The theory of competition says that even the strongest on any given day can get beaten. And I think Helias is going to go out and try to surprise somebody.
Everybody's 0-0, and the slate is clean, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of high school sports. We use those regular season games to get ourselves prepared for the games that we're about to undertake.
What's your number one key today?
Obviously defense, staying behind the ball, keeping them moving backwards. If I told the boys last night, if we don't have to take the ball from them, we don't have to tackle hard. If we can move them backwards or move them outside away from the danger area in the middle of the field, then we're being successful.
Always appreciate your time. Good luck today, Coach.
Kevin, thank you. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Helias Crusaders head soccer coach Jay Hebenheimer. Here's the district setup in Columbia at Rockbridge High School. Again, at 11 o'clock, the district's first round games will start. And number 4, Columbia Rockbridge, will take on number 5, Troy Buchanan. At 1 p.m., Columbia Hickman meets Helias. At 3 p.m., the number 2 seed in the district, Blue Springs South, to take on Columbia Battle. And then at 5 o'clock, the number 3 seed Blue Springs Wildcats meet Osage. District semifinals in Columbia scheduled for Monday at 5:30 and 7:30. District title game is scheduled for Wednesday at 6 p.m. Cross-country districts across the state today. In Class 5 districts, Helias is at Washington, starts at 9:30 this morning. Class 4 districts, Jefferson City and Capital City at Bolivar, scheduled to start races at 10 a.m. Class 3 districts, Blair Oaks is at Lynn at 10 o'clock. Class 2 districts, Boys Calvary Lutheran at Lynn at noon. Class 1 district girls, Calvary Lutheran at Lynn, scheduled to start that race at 2:45. Back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
Zimmer Radio and Marketing Group is an equal opportunity employer. If you're hardworking, driven to succeed, and would like to be a part of the Zimmer team, please visit ZimmerCommunications.com to apply and see all of our current openings. Candidates should have a proven track record of success and creative problem-solving abilities. You can also apply in person at either of our locations at 3109 South 10 Mile Drive in Jefferson City or at 3215 Lamone Industrial Drive in Columbia.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
From Springfield today, it will be the Class 3 state semifinals in softball as the Blair Oaks Lady Falcons will meet the Sullivan Lady Eagles. And joining us is Lady Falcons head softball coach Sharon Buschos. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Kevin.
All set to go, right?
Finally.
Yeah, you had to wait a day, didn't you?
We did. Class 3 is the last one to go today. We're the only class that hasn't played a game yet, so we'll be ready to go at 11 o'clock this morning.
Any big deal to have to wait another day?
Not really. Not because, I mean, the forecast was such to where you knew it was a possibility. So, you know, so we left on Thursday, so we've got a lot of hotel time in the last day and a half, but the girls are ready to go.
You know, another trip to the Final Four, and we can go over a lot of numbers, but the bottom line is you have an outstanding softball program at Blair Oaks. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And in particular this year, we've had a great season. The girls have played consistently all year, and we hope to carry that into today.
30 wins on the season for you.
Yeah, you know, that's a number. I'll be honest with you. It kind of hit me. 29, I think set the record. And I didn't think much about it. And then 30, there was just something about 30 that I was like, you know, I like that number. Sounds good. We've never achieved that.
You come into the game today riding a 10-game winning streak, and I believe you have won 21 of your last 22 games.
Yeah, and again, those were numbers I didn't realize until, you know, just kind of hearing maybe in the paper or something or on the news something about it. And that indicates how we are playing. I think in order to win that many games in a row and just that many games in general, you can't have a lot of lows during the season. You've got to maintain, you know, a fairly high level of play, and we have.
And there's a lot of confidence on this team, which you need heading into the semifinals and hopefully a state championship game.
You do, because when you get to this point in the Final Four and just a little added pressure, I mean, personalities, makeup of the team, confidence, and just, you know, the girls supporting each other, all of those are variables that come into play at this point.
Let's step back to the quarterfinals. You beat Fulton by a score of 6-1. They won a ball game earlier in the year against the Lady Falcons, didn't they?
They did. And, you know, sometimes we're the ones that people put the target on. And for that game, we were able to, you know, put the target on their back. They got us earlier in the season. So, you know, so we wanted it to be our turn to win. And things came out a little differently this time.
All right. You will take on Sullivan. I think first pitch is scheduled for 11, right?
It is.
Yep. Okay.
unless I get a change this morning. But seeing that field we're playing on, we walked by it yesterday. Hard to believe it's going to be ready today at 11, but They've got a lot of manpower and putting a lot of effort into it. So that's the plan as of now, on the dirt.
You need to be flexible, don't you?
Yeah, and that's what I did. I told the girls patience and flexibility. So it's been a stressful time for a lot of people involved. So we're just happy there might be some sunshine today and no rain for us to play in, unlike what others had to go through yesterday.
All right, Sullivan is the defending state champions in Class 3, 26 wins on the season for them. They are a great program as well, aren't they?
They are. You know, I think we're looking at two programs that have established themselves just over the years and certainly in the Final Four. So I think it's a matchup that I guess that is not a surprise for both schools, if I can say that without sounding like bragging.
You know, one of the things I did want to talk about real quick with regards to statistics in Final Four, I believe this is your 12th Final Four appearance since 2000. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thanks. You know, I somebody asked me about it, and I said, you know what, that's more of a personal, you know, on a personal note for these girls. I mean, it's just, you know, if you're a senior, it's your fourth year and you want to get it done. If you're a junior, it's your third year, you know, and down the line. So that I don't think is as significant to them. So try not to dwell on that and just kind of look at the here and now for them and get it done this year.
You know, both teams have very good pitching. Statistically, you go into the game averaging 7.8 runs a game. They go into the game averaging 8.9 runs a game. Are we going to see an 11-10 game? I don't think so, are we?
I don't think so, but there were some crazy scores yesterday that I didn't anticipate either, but I think the weather was a factor with that. I would be totally shocked if it was that type of a score with us. I think it's more of maybe what each team is allowing. That might be more of the statistic that plays out. At least I would say that's what, you know, Coach Crump is thinking and myself.
You know, getting the lead early, I think, is magnified once you get to the semifinals and state championship games. Would you agree?
I think everybody would agree with you. And if you're not the team that gets it early, you're certainly, you know, trying to pump your team up and reminding them that we can score runs. But, yeah, there's no doubt that jumping out, you know, first one to get on the scoreboard, you feel like has an advantage.
Yeah, it changes the whole dynamic of the game, doesn't it?
It does, and you can't deny that. It's in, you know, how it affects players, coaches, fans, just in general. It's just a feel-better type of situation, but no matter what we end up, whether on the board first or second, we just hope our numbers at least one more than theirs.
Spend a moment with me. Tell me what pleases you most, what impresses you most about your team heading into the game today?
I think the overall consistency of play. And, you know, there are times in the season where I don't, you know, I'm tweaking lineups a little bit more. This one, I don't feel like I've tweaked much at all. It's been pretty consistent all season, and there's been production up and down the line. You know, we've got some hitters batting down in the order that I think any team would be fine with them batting 3, 4, 5 for them. So it's that we have up and down the lineup, and then definitely, you know, with Andy Sibanek in the circle pitching for us, and her, she just I feel like made right for this situation. She rolls with things and doesn't get too high, too low, and is a competitor.
You will hand the ball to her today, won't you?
Absolutely.
What's your number one key today?
I think trying to not let the moment get too big and just, you know, playing with calmed nerves and confidence in our abilities, and know that we can't control every single thing during the game. But I told them, if we play like we have been and capable of, I love our chances and I love this team.
You know, it's a situation, too, where you have played Sullivan, not this year, but you've played this program before.
We have. We've seen each other over the years, and most of the time in big games. You know, I feel like sometimes there is some tournament play here and there, but it's been in big games, and I think we're similar teams, to be honest with you. I think they have a program that's used to winning, and so do we. So I think they're a confident team as well.
I know you're incredibly busy. We appreciate your time this morning, and good luck today.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Blair Oaks Lady Falcons head softball coach Sharon Bushjost again's first pitch scheduled for Springfield this morning at 11 o'clock. It's the Class 3 state semifinal game. Blair Oaks enters the contest with a mark of 30-4. Sullivan enters with a mark of 26-9. Again, the Lady Falcons riding a 10-game winning streak heading into the game today, have won 21 of their last 22 games. Sullivan is riding a 6-game winning streak. Again, taking a look at the numbers real quick. Falcons enter the game averaging 7.8 runs a game, giving up just one run a contest. For Sullivan, they are averaging 8.9 runs per game, giving up three runs a contest. Blair Oaks against Sullivan should be a great game down in Springfield. First pitch scheduled to start at 11 o'clock. It's the Class 3 state softball semifinals. We're on the air 6:30 on Friday night from Atkins Stadium as the Jefferson City Jays will meet the Kirksville Tigers. It'll be a district semifinal game, winner advancing to the district title the following Friday night. 6:30 with our pregame show, 7 o'clock with the play-by-play.